this is Dr. Ben Kim, and welcome to my first podcast for 2013. Today, I'd like to share some thoughts on the single best way to get and stay healthy. When pressed to share just one thing that all of us can do to stay as healthy as possible or to recover our health once we've lost some part of it, I often suggest this: don't ignore discomfort. Whenever you don't feel well, strive to identify and address the root causes of your symptoms. Conventional medical practice would have us believe that prevention entails being diligent in going for regular diagnostic testing. This is actually screening for disease once it's already well underway. It's nothing remotely close to exercising true prevention of disease. Say you undergo a colonoscopy and the results show widespread inflammation, ulceration, and polyps. You need to understand that these findings indicate that your gastrointestinal tract have been stressed beyond its normal capacity for a long while now, likely years. Well, what do you mean this has been going on for a long time? I'm often asked. If I was developing these ulcers and polyps and widespread inflammation years ago, wouldn't I have felt something? Well, here's the thing. All of us have unique genetic dispositions that dictate how much feedback we receive from our organs. But by and large, all of us do experience warning symptoms, the most common symptoms of gastrointestinal distress being stomach pain, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, and excessive gas. Mucus or blood in the stools are more obvious signs of an unhappy GI tract. Because of these and other common symptoms, many of us come to accept them as being normal, or just nuisances that are easily brushed away with over-the-counter or prescription meds. If you experience stomach discomfort in any form after a meal, you need to consider the possibility that your GI tract may not be able to properly digest something you ate. It sounds simple, right? Sadly, I've seen literally thousands of people over the years who just don't do this. They haven't been taught to try to figure out which foods and drinks allow them to feel comfortable, and which of their daily food choices create discomfort. Like the 48-year-old female nurse who, in reporting chronic bloating and excessive gas production for the better part of her adult years, was astounded to lose 25 pounds in 2 months and have her abdomen feel perfectly comfortable after committing to avoiding all dairy and gluten. Or the 28-year-old post office worker whose decade-long battle with cystic acne melted away within 2 months of staying away from all highly processed foods and eating nothing but vegetables, both raw and cooked, fruits, legumes, rice, quinoa, millet, potatoes, hard squashes, organic eggs, salmon, almonds, and soups made with a wide variety of vegetables and beans. For these and countless other people I have worked with, until they took time to understand the intimate connection between their diet and health, it wasn't obvious that they couldn't restore their health without identifying and avoiding foods that their bodies were not tolerating. But I've never eaten a food that made my stomach unhappy. My abdomen feels perfectly comfortable all the time. So why do I still have problems with my heart, lungs, kidneys, skin, hair, joints, nose, ears, and pharynx? Well, it's possible that your genetic disposition is such that your GI feedback system isn't as sensitive as that of the average person. But it's more likely that over time, your feedback mechanisms have given up, much like how a smoker's body gradually stops giving feedback via coughing, mucus production, and tearing of the eyes as the smoker continues inhaling tobacco. So while you may not experience gas, bloating, and abnormal bowel movements when you ingest foods that your body can't optimally use, don't be fooled into thinking that these foods can't contribute to a wide range of health problems. That's right. Having a latte or yogurt or any other food made with pasteurized and homogenized dairy on a daily basis may be the sole cause of your recurrent sinusitis, nasal congestion, ear infections, laryngitis, eczema, hyperhidrosis, joint pain, itchy skin, or other types of inflammation. It's possible that pasteurized and homogenized dairy isn't a root cause of your chronic health woes. But the point is that it serves you well to be open to this possibility and to carefully observe the timing of your flare-ups in relation to the foods that you eat. In my experience, in the absence of regular exposure to an obvious household or environmental toxin, dairy and gluten are the two most common root instigators of an inflammatory response in the body. So where there is a chronic or recurrent health challenge, I strongly encourage my clients to go 60 to 90 days without any dairy or gluten and to observe how their bodies react. Well, how in the world can dairy or gluten cause some area in my body that is far removed from my gastrointestinal tract to get inflamed? Casein and whey in pasteurized and homogenized dairy, as well as gluten in many grains, are not the same nutrients that they were on the farm 50 or more years ago. Today, with factory farming and genetically modified organisms, they are grossly adulterated pseudonutrients that act as antigens that stimulate antigen-antibody complex formation. Put another way, for most of us, intake of casein, whey, and gluten stimulates inflammation. As your body tries to encapsulate and eliminate these antigen-antibody complexes within your bloodstream, some of them inevitably get deposited in your tissues, where they can cause inflammation and damage. Which tissues tend to receive the most deposits varies from person to person and may be determined by genetic predisposition, or it may just be by chance. We don't fully understand this yet. In any case, this is how regular intake of homogenized and pasteurized dairy and gluten can create chronic or recurrent inflammation anywhere in your body. Of course, this is just part of what happens when you ingest foods that you can't use. The main idea to digest is this. When any aspect of your health is suffering, your first thought should be to identify foods and drinks in your diet that may be the root stimuli of inflammation. Well, what's the big deal? Even if the cream in my 3 cups of coffee and the many servings of wheat products that I eat daily are causing inflammation, if I can manage my discomfort with medication, why can't I continue to enjoy myself? This is precisely the road that many people choose to take. They'd rather continue to stick with the status quo of eating and drinking their comfort foods and beverages and leave it to their doctors and medications to deal with uncomfortable symptoms that come up. Regrettably, choosing this road inevitably leads to worsening of overall health. Taking pain medication might numb you to inflammation brought on by foods that your body can't optimally use, but your organs have to pay the price that comes with dealing with these undesirable substances. Let's give dairy and gluten a break for a moment and consider the effects of regularly eating sugary foods or meats that are cooked at high temperatures. Eating such foods is a reliable way to put significant strain on your liver. Unfortunately, your liver isn't designed to produce clear feedback. It's a super resilient organ, given its chief duty to process the bulk of the nutrients that enter your bloodstream from your diet. So your liver does its best to parry the burden of excess sugar, damaged cholesterol, and free radical-laden fatty acids while continuing on with its processing responsibilities. After several years of being stressed by a poor diet, you might see the effects of liver dysfunction as jaundice. Or you might find out from your doctor that your abdominal exam and blood work show signs of a fatty liver, that is, a state of enlargement from chronic abuse. If you continue to ingest foods and beverages that are harmful to your liver, all in the name of continuing to live life to the fullest, you'll likely develop enough scar tissue within your liver to cause liver failure, a condition called cirrhosis. So to reiterate the central point, the best way to get and stay healthy is to be alert to what your body is telling you on a moment-to-moment basis. No physician in this world is more capable of recovering and maintaining your health than you. You have to figure out how to eat and live in a way that allows you to be emotionally balanced, mentally alert, physically fit, and physically comfortable. You have to decide that it's not normal to live with chronic aches and pains, and that each niggle in your body is your body letting you know that something within your life has activated an inflammatory response. If you're sufficiently inspired to minimize premature aging and illness by being mindful of your daily food choices, you might find the following list of nutrient-dense foods to be worth reviewing. These are foods that are typically well digested by the masses, but as you go through this list, please keep in mind that you still have to stay alert to your body's feedback and make adjustments as necessary. Some grains include rice, quinoa, buckwheat, and millet, which is actually a seed, but it's typically used like a grain. Vegetables that are easily digested: lettuce, carrots, celery, cabbage, cucumber, bok choy, zucchini, beets, jicama, sweet potatoes, hard squashes, yellow, red, and green onions, garlic, basil, cilantro, parsley, chives, and radish. Some fruits that are easily digested: avocado, apple, banana, pear, all types of berries, grapes, melon, mango, papaya, coconut, and olives. And some legumes: chickpeas, lentils, black beans, kidney beans, white beans, and green peas. Please keep in mind that your digestive capacity changes all the time. The goal is to consistently choose foods that leave you feeling light and comfortable within. If your GI tract is currently in a weakened state, i.e. if you regularly experience stomach pain, bloating, gas, diarrhea, constipation, or other common symptoms of indigestion, initially, you might find that your body prefers mainly cooked foods, as heat breaks down natural fibers in plant foods, rendering them easier to digest. Any loss in heat-sensitive nutrients is more than compensated for by better overall digestion. And what about nutrient-rich plant foods that aren't on the list that I just read from? Foods like tomatoes, eggplant, potatoes, fennel, spinach, kale, and organic soy? Or what about clean animal foods like organic eggs, raw organic dairy, wild fish, and organically raised flesh meats? And how about common nuts and seeds? All of these other foods may be just fine for your physiology. As your appetite dictates, you can try any minimally processed foods that are available to you. If you listen, and I mean really listen, your body will let you know which foods can remain on your menu for now. Keep in mind that just because a particular food doesn't work today doesn't mean that you can't have it at some point in the future. I've had countless clients whose tolerances changed as their health changed. So stay open and listen. Also keep in mind that a fair test for any food requires that you chew well until liquid is best, and also that you're physically and emotionally at rest as you're eating. Without these conditions, a food that your body is perfectly capable of digesting and using as healthy fuel may remain partially undigested in your GI tract, which is the beginning of trouble. If you're looking to make a dedicated effort to getting comfortable and healthy from the inside out, it's best that you keep your diet simple, meaning that you shouldn't eat too many types of foods in one sitting. Initially, you might even try eating just one food per meal. For example, you could try eating 3 bananas, or however many you'd like, for breakfast on day 1. And then you'd have 2 bananas and half an avocado on day 2. The day after that, assuming that you felt comfortable with both bananas and avocados, you can add blueberries or maybe some organic eggs. By adding just one new food at a time in this systematic way, you have a good shot at attributing any symptoms of discomfort to specific choices. If this effort is unrealistic given your circumstances, just try avoiding all forms of dairy and gluten. This action step is often enough to allow dramatic improvement in health. Yes, I have seen recurrent ear infections go away on a dairy-free diet. I've witnessed eczema disappear on a dairy-free diet. I've had clients who made full recoveries from irritable bowel syndrome, ulcerative colitis, and Crohn's after eliminating gluten and dairy from their lives. I've had patients who were urged to consider joint replacement surgery return to playing tennis 3 times a week with their original joints after moving to a plant-centered diet free of dairy, gluten, and processed sugar. Yes, I've seen chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia become non-issues within 2 to 3 months of avoiding dairy and gluten and proper supplementation with vitamin D3. I could go on, but the point is this. What you put in your mouth each day is arguably the single greatest determinant of the health of all of your body parts. Your hair, your skin, eyes, nose, sinuses, ears, mouth, throat, all of your internal organs, glands, joints, nervous system, and any other group of cells that I've left out here. If you have a health problem and you're serious about getting well, you have to give full priority to figuring out which foods to eat and which ones to avoid. In the days ahead, I'll focus on sharing more guidance on dairy and gluten-free meals to support those of you who are determined to turn your health around. If you aren't already subscribed to our free newsletter, please visit our site at drbenkim.com, and you'll find a few different areas where you can click on a link to sign up for our free newsletter, and this will allow you to receive alerts whenever new material is published or when there are new podcasts available for downloading. So I hope this podcast has been helpful, and if you have any questions at all, you can always leave a comment under this article at our site, or you can use our contact form to send me your question. I hope that you and your loved ones have a great first week of 2013, and I look forward to producing more of these podcasts soon. Bye for now.